Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, March 30th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are reading Appendix 2 on pages 567 and 568 that starts with the paragraph, the term spiritual experience, and we're going all through the end of page 268, contempt prior to investigation. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Charlene G, 12 Traditions, Mary C, readers of the text, Judy N, Jane F, our backup, Jessica C, newcomer greeter, Kathy M, and second hour host is Tony B. The reference number for Sunday, March 29, 2026 meeting is 23,322. That's 23322. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who through shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Charlene G. to read the 12 steps. Morning, Charlene.
Good morning, this is Charlene T. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlene. And I will now ask Mary C. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you so much for letting me be of service. My name is Mary C. in Italy. I'm a recovered overeater. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thanks, Mary. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you've done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and today we are reading pages 567 and 568, the entire pages that begin, it's Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience, starting with the term spiritual experience and ending all the way at the bottom of 568, Contempt Prior to Investigation. And I will now ask Judy N. to begin reading. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service. I'm Judy N. from Maryland, living one day at a time, recovered. We were in the Big Book on page 27. It reads that it is necessary, it is vital to have a spiritual experience. Spiritual experience, page 567. The term spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think that this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer. Well, I'll take a breath. I feel that I love the fact that this is included in the big book because it thoroughly explains to all of us that a spiritual experience can come in different forms. So again, it's a wide open plane for all of us to get to this, to have this spiritual experience. For me, I am what William James would call the educational variety. I didn't have a sudden upheaval. I always believed in God, but for me, it was slow and subtle and steady, one day at a time. The spiritual experience only came to me from working through the steps, again, with those three absolute vital components of having willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. My life was unmanageable. My thinking was insane. I needed help, and I knew it. So I did what I was told. I went through the steps one day at a time. And over a period of time, I began to learn, and my connection with my higher power became more personal, more dependent, and just an absolute, almost habitual, how I just feel that God is with me and that I have this inner power that I can, as long as I stay fit and live in 10, 11, and 12, that I have the ability to live a full life, to live a life with purpose and productivity. I needed the spiritual experience for sure, and for me, it was the slow educational variety. And I still have a way to go. I'm never cured of my character defects. I have to live in 10, 11, and 12, but oh boy, this way of living is so much better for me. I'm doing things and I'm facing challenges and I'm not turning to the food. And my emotions are, for the most part, with 10 steps, my emotions are dealt with and released, and there's love and there's forgiveness. And as I continue living in this program, I am feeling that I'm improving. I am improving in my personality as a human being. And I have a way to go, but I'm just very, very grateful for every day living with God. And I do use the term God consciousness today. I'm other-centered, God-conscious way of living, and very, very grateful for all the sponsors I've had along the way who have guided me and helped me, and everyone on this line this morning. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. And I'll now take a list of names, but hold on. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any vision meeting, please hold back so that your friends can share. Okay, I'm ready.
Christy.
Mary B.
In the UK.
Larry K.
Okay,
Kathleen
got Chris.
In Chicagoland.
Okay, hold on. I have Chris, Mary, Melissa, Larry, and then someone in Chicagoland.
Kathleen.
Lisa B.
Sally A.
Alicia S.
Jane S.
Hi, Felicia, Jane. Okay, let me tell you who I have. I have Chris, Mary, Melissa C., Larry K., Kathleen, Lisa B., Sally A., Felicia S., Jane S. Was there anyone else?
That'll be.
Liz.
Peggy W.
Bonnie B.
Okay, I heard a man's voice, then Peggy, then Bonnie.
That'll be.
The gentleman. I'm sorry, can you say your name again, please?
Pedro.
Pedro.
P-E-D-R-O.
Got it. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, I think this is, we're going to stop with this. This is who I have. If I miss you, I'm sorry, and we'll get you afterwards if we can. Chris, Mary, Melissa C., Larry K., Kathleen, Lisa B., Sally A., Felicia S., Jane S., Pedro, Peggy W., Bonnie B. If I didn't get the first initial of your last name, if you could say it and tell us where you're from, that would be awesome. So we've got Chris followed by Mary. Chris, you are up. You have 3 minutes.
I'm not going to take 3 minutes because there's so many good shares coming. But thank you, everyone. Who's
can you tell us your name and where you're from? Can you tell us your name and where you're from, please? The first initial of your last name. Thank you.
Chris G. And I'm from Tennessee, and I just wanted to say about spiritual experience that we have to examine our motivation. My motivation when I got to the meetings was what I saw in the mirror. I wanted to change what I saw in the mirror. And when I changed my motivation to the steps, et cetera, then I saw is something in the mirror that I wasn't looking for, and that was happy, joyous, and free. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. And now we've got Mary followed by Melissa C. Mary, can you give us your first initial and where you're from, please? Mary, go ahead and press star one.
Hi, this is Mary B. from the UK. Thank you. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. Thank you very much for taking the meeting, and thanks for everybody who's read and participating. What I took from the appendix and what I love about it is that it talks about a personal spiritual experience and a variety and a breadth, and it makes it accessible for me as a person coming to this program in desperate need of a spiritual solution and yet desperately wanting to address a physical symptom, an analogy at the same time. And what I hear as well in this reading is that, you know, that abundant care of a God that makes or a higher power that makes itself accessible and is the essence of step three for me, you know, turning my will and my life over to the care of a power of my developing understanding and experience of growth. And 17 years in program and an evolving abstinence that has recently led me to an even greater level of surrender. And whilst I'm sort of holding up a bit of a measuring stick to myself today around how long I've been in program and found it more of a challenge to continually surrender to this spiritual solution, which hasn't been my journey in other programs, definitely not, but here it has been, and yet it's brought me even more abundance and gifts than I could have imagined. And anybody coming to the program who's new, you need never, from day one, eat compulsively ever again if, you know, you're willing to have a spiritual experience for a power that's greater than anything else that you may have tried that has not worked in your life. And it's great to be reminded of that in this reading and my own journey today. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to share.
Thanks, Mary. And now we've got Melissa C. followed by Larry K. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Thanks so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm recovered in New York. And, you know, I'm so grateful for this appendix because, you know, I had this false idea that I would get this, like, overwhelming, profound internal change, and it would happen before I did anything. Like, you know, I thought, okay, I'm going to get
Excuse me. If you're not Melissa, please. If you're not Melissa C, please press star one and mute yourself. Okay, Melissa, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. Yeah, I thought that I would just. I thought I would get the rewards before putting in any of the effort. And you know, and so I was, you know, in some sense, I think I was waiting to feel God inside me, you know, like I'm just going to feel God inside me. And the good news, you know, I'm going to fast forward. The good news is I do feel God inside me. And that is what a spiritual experience is. But it's a very specific, you know, for those that may have come in already with a religious conviction and they're wondering, cause sometimes I meet people like that. They wonder, why aren't they abstinent? Why aren't they able to put the food down? Because they have a relationship with God. And here, it's a very specific, it's a vital spiritual experience. It's a personality change. And I love that it's broken down to a personality change that, you know, the same person, I was told, if I don't change, I'm going to go back to eating. I'm going to keep right on eating. So this is a spiritual experience where my personality gets overhauled. And that can happen, you know, sometimes, like we ask one another, how does that happen? And for me, it happened in measured increments, in steps. Little by little, I felt this change overcome me. And, you know, and here it says about a undergone or profound alteration in his reaction to life, and that this change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. And so that is what it means to me, that I have a profound alteration to the way that I react to life. Most of the time when things are happening around me, the shift inside me is that I don't take it personal. You know, sometimes life is just happening and it's not necessarily I'm the target, I'm the self-centered, you know, this is all about me. You know, and that the awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of a spiritual experience, that there's a God consciousness. And so step two is the promise that if you continue, if you have faith and you continue, you will be awake and aware to God in your life. And the spiritual experience is just that, awake and aware to God in my life. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Melissa. And now we've got Larry K. followed by Kathleen. Good morning, Larry.
Thank you, Melanie.
Good morning, Janet. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay. Oh, great. Thanks, Janet, for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. You know, I had some good sponsors along the way. I didn't recover right away, but one of them, the first time I read this, we used to meet somewhere in the Chicago area. And the one time we were going to be reading this and some things associated with it, he said, hey, let's meet over at the Chicago Botanical Garden. And I'll never forget. And they had something that they have every year called Butterflies and Blooms, you know, and it's kind of cool. The first time I read this, you know, that was where we were. And it was pretty amazing. He was pretty creative and inventive. Perhaps you see where I'm going. He said, you know, Larry, a spiritual awakening for me unfolds slowly and could be compared to the gradual emergence of a butterfly from its cocoon, from its shell here. And you know, we looked around and, you know, those beautiful, colorful butterflies. And he says, at first, you know, I was like a caterpillar, was confined within this protective shell, dark, silent, isolation, right, in the disease in our case, and much like a mind that is unaware of its deeper potential. And over time, as I worked the steps, the caterpillar began to change. And the transformation was not immediate for me, he said, nor for many people I know in OA. He said, but rather it was a gradual process that continues to unfold, that occurs in hidden layers each day, small, you know, sometimes imperceptible, uncomfortable shifts happen, and they're often unnoticed by ourselves, much like the subtle nudges we receive in our daily lives that hint at the deeper truths, you know. And I need metaphorical pictures, because as the days pass, just like the cocoon, it starts to show signs of movement, just as insights and we have realizations begin to emerge and stir within, and there's a struggle to break free, and God's doing this for us, grace and mercy of God, and it symbolizes the challenges faced during the awakening. It can be uncomfortable, yes. Doesn't happen quickly for many of us, for most of us perhaps. Our perceptions, our insights begin to change within the awakened person over time. It's still happening for me. I have such gratitude. I carry around a light symbol that helps me to see the deeper picture. I continue to be this imperfect butterfly, if you will. With that, I pass. Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Larry. And now we've got Kathleen followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Kathleen.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Hi, it's Kathleen. I'm in Illinois. Last name is F as in Frank. So grateful to be on this morning and to have the courage to hit star one and share something that happened this morning. I was struggling over the last 12 hours with wanting to control everything in my life, and it was like a crushing, like, pain on my chest. I felt overwhelmed by, like, this insistent script that there's always too much to do and not enough time. And what happens when I feel that way is I just kind of lash out at everyone around me. Sounds familiar. And I'm irrational, I'm compulsive, and then eventually I turn into sloth. And then I land myself in the food. And so I was fully aware of all of this going on. I was working on my third step and get on the jumping off point on my fourth step. And I did a 10th step last night with some friends, but still I woke up with this crushing pain in my chest. And this morning I'm like, okay, I'm in the program. And I didn't know where we were reading today. And I just randomly this morning, I picked this chapter out of the book, and I didn't even realize what was happening. And then you guys were sharing and reading. But before that, I prayed to God over this bondage of self and, like, just relieve me of this bondage of self. And as soon as I wrote it down and prayed, and there's another book I had open too that had the exact same reading about bondage. And I just really, it was amazing, the transformation. And as all of this transpired over the last 30 minutes of my morning, I felt this peace. And that's a spiritual awakening for me. That is an experience that I've had in this program many, many times. And I'm so grateful I had it this morning, because I do feel so much at peace. And I don't have to turn to the food over us. I can turn to my program. I can turn to my steps. I can listen to all you wonderful people share everything that you do. And I'm just so grateful that higher power shows up in these miraculous ways. And as long as I'm here, you know, as long as I'm doing the right thing, as long as I'm aware and sharing and asking for help and turning to my higher power and doing the step work, there's some serious work I have to do. And I'm grateful I have work to do. So I'm not afraid of it, but the bondage of self is such a thing. It so weighs me down, and I just want to be free of it. I can't do it by myself. There's nothing I can do except my homework and being here. I mean, God is the one that's going to relieve me from this bondage. And I believe that today, and I feel it. I felt it 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, and I'm so grateful to share that with everyone this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. And if you are just joining us, let me tell you where we are. We are on page 567 and 568, Appendix 2, Spiritual Experience. We've read the whole two pages, and we are sharing on those two pages. And now we've got Lisa B. followed by Sally A. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B. recovered compulsive overeater. I'm from Michigan. Thank you for allowing me to share. The thing that stuck out to me when everybody's talking about bondage of self, that kind of clicked a light on for me. And I've heard that self-centeredness is the core of our disease, for sure. and it certainly is mine. no matter how long I've been here or recovered or anything, it's still there. And it comes out in various ways at various times. Sometimes it's more in check, and other times it's just full-blown. And it's like, oh, my God. And when I see it, it's just so horrifying to me, some of the behavior and things like that. But I was thinking about, from listening to the shares and things, that a spiritual experience, the biggest one for me was a couple of years ago, I think. I was getting ready to go to Italy. Lifelong goal was to go to Italy. And thinking about it, I kept trying to figure out a way that I was going to be able to eat pasta and cheese. And, you know, trying to rationalize and justify it and this and that and the other thing. And then I realized somehow or other, God brought it to my attention, that's how, that I was setting myself up for a major relapse. And so I called my sponsor and I talked to her, and she said, well, if you're willing, I've got a bunch of homework for you. And I'm like, okay. And through that homework, I realized that I'd just been coasting. You know, I'm totally amazed that I remained abstinent as long as I did doing that, because I wasn't putting in any of the work. I wasn't even coming to the meetings. I wasn't working with others. I wasn't doing step work myself. I wasn't doing anything. I was sending her my food every day, and that was it. And so when I realized, it came to that realization, God brought it to my attention, I started doing that, and, you know, all of a sudden I had the sunlight of the Spirit, and it's been amazing from them, various times back and forth and things like that. But, yeah, so grateful for this program. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And now we have Sally A. followed by Felicia F. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you so much for your service to all of us and everyone behind the scenes. Sally A. in New York, and I'm really happy to have an opportunity to share on these two very strong pages that bring a lot of the information of this book together. To begin with, we see that word change, the personality change, these personality change, a number of sudden revolutionary changes, and a fourth time we see the word change. God consciousness followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. And, you know, someone very wise in this program, whenever I would come back after being gone, because I would relapse so often, would say the same thing to me, such that I memorized it. What are you willing to change today? And I have to always think about that every morning. What am I willing to change today? Because that's what this program is telling us, that we have to be willing to change. And there's a lot of other aspects about how we do change. Of course, we know that it is ultimately the change we have to experience today is this God consciousness that we see on the top area of 568. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. This is, for me, the key change. It boils down to the word mindfulness, my awareness that God is walking with me, that I don't do this on my own by any stretch of my own imagination. And coming down the page on page 568, the paragraph just before the bottom, it again gives us the essentials. These are the essentials that are also found on page 13 at the bottom of the page in Bill's story. We see willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. Open-mindedness is another word for humility. These are the essentials of recovery. And on page 13B, Bill's story, he says, belief in a higher power, willingness, honesty, and humility. And if you look at this page, of course it talks about belief in a higher power. This is, for me, something that I think about every day. Am I practicing these four essentials that are required? And the last thing I wanted to say, I hope I have time to say, is at the bottom of 567, he finally realizes he has undergone a profound alteration in his reactions to life. Going on, it says, what often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished, thank you, by a few years of self-discipline. And I'll just end by saying that's the change. We change. We may not see it, but others do. Thank you, Janet. Have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Sally. And now we have Felicia F., followed by Jane F. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning. Felicia S. from New Jersey, recovering compulsive overeater. I love this section of the book. It's so important because it reminds me that this is about spirituality, not about religion. And when I start to get confused and grumpy and all kinds of assumption-y going on, I veered into a lane where I think I'm supposed to be practicing a religion and I've got all sorts of ideas about that. And that's not what this says at all. My brain makes that up. And I am of the educational variety. I didn't have a white light experience yet at this time in my recovery, and that's okay. But what this section reminds me of, and I so desperately needed to hear this morning, is I inflict my own pain. When I contempt prior to investigation, when I shut my mind shut, when I do that, when I take control, when I'm running on Felicia's will, when I'm like, this is how it is, it's always going to be like this, it's never going to change, blah, 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 blah. I've eased God out. I've eased that spiritual experience out. And now I'm on a different road that leads to food cravings and insanity and grumpy and all the things, all the seven dwarfs of sadness for me. And this holds the key. All I have to do is stop, pause, be willing. That willingness, honesty, and openness I've been taught in this program is God, and it reminds me that it's God, not me. You know, I'm not the who. And if I stay in my lane and I allow the spirit to work through me, my day has endless possibilities and incredible excitement. And thank you for that reminder this morning. Thank you.
Thanks, Felicia. And now we've got Jane S. followed by Pedro. Good morning, Jane.
Oh, good morning, Janet. So good to hear your voice this morning. Thank you for your service, and thank you for everyone's shares. God, I love this meeting. This meeting has saved my life. It's changed my life. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, living with a freedom in my heart today, a peace and serenity that only God has given me. And I realize that today. I give God all the credit. And I couldn't even say the word God about 5 years ago, you know. So it's been a long process for me. That tiny little asterisk on page 27 saved my life. A little over 17 years ago, when I was brought into a 12-step program and God relieved me of my alcoholism and my obsession around alcohol, drugs, and cigarettes all at the same time. He didn't take away my food obsession. I left that one to unfold as it did. But I remember coming into this program and reading this big book and hearing all the stories and thinking, oh, my God, this is just not going to happen to me. I kept seeing God all over the place, and that really tripped me up. So thank God there was step 3 and step 11 that says, as we understood him. And then I don't remember what meeting it was in, but I do remember when we went to that tiny asterisk and came to this page, and we read the spiritual experience, and it was like, I was a deep sigh of relief for me. Like, I'm like, oh, I am definitely the educational variety. And it took me 47 years to get into a 12-step fellowship. God was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself my whole life. I just didn't understand it. But as my recovery unfolded after years of progression of my disease, God came in and started the process of the recovery, which is that butterfly thing. I was a caterpillar for a long, long time. You know, and when I came into this fellowship and I put some other substances down and some other obsessions down, the food didn't go down. I picked food up with a vengeance. And, you know, it's so fast forward to 15 and a half years, in and out, back and forth, trying it so many different ways, but never, ever giving up total control. So to my higher power, I couldn't have that total vital experience until I actually did. And then in hindsight now, I can look back and see that transformation has been happening. It's just been happening in God's time, not my time. And I had to do the work, and I had to stop resting on my laurels and continue to do the work and look at myself and, you know, and clean my house, you know, so that I really truly did have something to share with another human being. And it's those gentle nudges. And sometimes they're not so gentle. They were like 2x4s in the beginning. Now they're more gentle, and they're more often, and I'm open. My channel's not clogged. And so of recent, in the past 2.5 months, I've gone through 2 major surgeries. And I'll tell you what, I realized today that the change in me, the profound alteration in my reaction to life, is that God has slowed me down so that I could let go and let God and surrender one day at a time. And he's just taught me that and is teaching me that and one day at a time. So I'm just grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Jane. Now I've got Pedro followed by Peggy W. Good morning, Pedro.
Good morning. Thank you. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. And I'm grateful to be afternoon today. And I'm grateful that this power helped me stay entirely afternoon the last 24 hours. And I'm asking it to please help me stay afternoon this 24 hours in front of me, taking this thing one day at a time. Just returned to OA. I'm working on day 6. Very grateful. So spiritual experience. So I need spiritual experiences. And the realization this morning that it's my personal spiritual experience, you know. I am grateful for this spiritual experience that I had this morning. You know, I've been working on this idea at the bottom of the page with where it says, with a few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped in an unsuspected inner resource, which they presently identify with, their own conception of a power greater than themselves. So it's my own conception, you know, of this power. And I've been around the Big Book and AA, and I've been around a long time, OA, and for some reason, I have not been able to stay abstinent. You know, I get abstinent and I lose it because life gets hard, because I got sick. You know, something happens in my brain that I go back to my alcohol foods. And but yet, I am grateful for what I have received. You know, when I work the program, the program works. You know, it works if we work it, if I work it, right? So this morning, you know, I've been chanting a lot about this power, you know, within my life, this great reality. My friend called it that quiet voice inside of me, that he said, inside of him. You know, and I've been praying about it, and I've been praying about it, and I felt this morning that this power woke me up to come to this meeting. And I said, oh, wow, this is God. You know, this is the God they're talking about. You know, this power that, you know, I have a friend that told me yesterday that this God, this power wants to help us when we turn our life and our will over to the care of this God idea. He wants to take care of us. You know, it will take care of us. But anyway, so I've been praying for. Thank you for letting me share. I love you guys. I'll be back.
Thank you. And now we've got Peggy W. followed by Bonnie B. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. Yeah, I absolutely love this this reading that we had today. I've only been here for, I think this is week three for me, and I'm working through the steps with my sponsor and the spiritual awakening. Holy buckets. It's been a kind of a trip because I came in not religious at all. And reading through the big book, wow, so many things have been happening. Like, I feel the presence, and it's so, I don't know what that is. But anyways, I'm running with it because it's working. It's made me calmer in the last week, I've noticed. And relying on a power greater than myself, trusting in a power greater than myself, believing is so helpful to staying abstinent and being healthier. I couldn't do this without a higher power. And so I'm still in awe over the whole higher power thing. So you have to be patient with me. You know, for instance, I was listening to my headphones. I was listening to a podcast, and I was getting, you know, my food. I weigh and measure my food. Personally, I have to do that. And something came out 4.2. And right as that was happening, a lady on the podcast said, and my first break came when my food went to 4.3, and I thought, oh, that little bit ain't going to matter. And I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, Peggy, take that out, put it in the leftover bin, and make it 4. And I'm sitting there eating, and I'm like, oh, my God, that was such a God moment. Like, this kind of stuff happens to me all the time. You know, I'll pray in the mornings, like, just make sure you help me weigh everything perfectly. And I don't even have to, like, it just happens. It goes right to 4. It goes right to 6. And I'll look up. I'll be like, hey, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I don't know. To me, them are God moments. But anyways, I am so grateful for this program and to figure out that I am truly an overeater. By the way, I am an overeater, compulsive overeater at its finest. Once I start, I can't stop. And so I'm right where I need to be. I feel like I'm home. I love my sponsor. I feel like what, you know, someone had mentioned homework, and I have homework, and I always feel like I'm not smart enough. And so I've been really praying to my God or my higher power to help me get through the homework the best I can. Okay, thank you, and you guys have a great day today.
Thanks, Peggy. And now we've got Bonnie B. Good morning, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. The shares have been dynamite today, as always. Bonnie B. from Florida, recovered today by the grace of God, but a true, true, true compulsive overeater at my core and at my DNA. Yeah, where do you start? There were so many things that were jumping out to me. The first thing was, you know, to anyone that's not recovered, to anyone that's still in the food, oh, please drop down to that third paragraph. Most of our experiences are what they call the educational variety. This was my experience. man, if the people in this room, if the people that I had spoken to on this line had not said, give me your hand, let's just go back. Let's look. What happened? What happened? With such love, I would have exited so quickly, thinking once again, I don't fit. I don't fit here either. I knew that I didn't fit on all the things on page 131. All the things that I tried over there, I didn't fit. I do fit here. I do have this DNA. At my core, I have this DNA. You can't make it up. As much as I wish I had my husband's beautiful blue eyes, I've got brown eyes. Even if I get contacts that are blue, I still have brown eyes. This is my DNA. And the thing that was perplexing is that I came into this program as a Christian woman. I really felt at my core I had such a solid relationship with my Creator. But here's the reality of it. I had never surrendered. I had never surrendered everything that I had buried. I had resisted for years and years the idea of surrendering, much less talking about it, pulling it to the surface. In the end, what I figured out is surrender. Surrender is the gift because it's the beginning of real peace for me. It wasn't God's way of taking something from me, but it was His way of making room in me for Him. What I lacked was Him inside of me. What I had was a whole lot of monkeys screaming my reality. I had filled every corner of my life with striving and managing, fixing, trying to explain, trying to control, and all of it separated me from God. It left me empty on the inside. And because of my DNA, a DNA that demands that I neutralize when the monkeys show up, I found myself back in the pantry over and over and over. You know, I love the title, Spiritual Experience, because as a noun, it's the knowledge that I acquire as I live out an event. I have lived out this program. And then as a verb, it's to undergo or feel something. I have felt a shift. What is that shift as I wrap up? It's a perception shift, as another person shared earlier. God has given me a different set of lenses. I no longer live in column one, I live in column four. What's my perception of that? Dear God, bless them, change me. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks again. Blessings, everyone.
Thanks, Bonnie. And we have time for one more two-minute share on pages 567, 568. Well, now actually we're down to a minute. So who'd like to take our last minute?
Hi, Jillian.
Jillian, it's yours. Go. Now, Jillian, you will be our last share for the day. So go ahead. You've got a minute.
Great. Thank you so much. Hi, good morning. My name is Jillian. I am a compulsive overeater. I am just ready to surrender. I've been struggling recently. This is actually my very first share. That's why I sound excited. But underneath this excitement is a lot of pain and discomfort. And I know the place that I need to be is here. So I thank you all for having this meeting. And I'm going to stay on for the next line. But I'm familiar with the spiritual experience. And I am just overwhelmed, but know that I can make a change. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jillian. And thank you to everyone who read and shared. And thank you for Team Monday for March. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately follow closing. The share ID for today's meeting, March 30th, 2026, is 23323. That's 23,323. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Jane S., can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I would be honored. My name is Jane, and I'm still a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We should be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.